Welcome back to our last class. Next week, we will begin the study. The all-adult Sunday school class, so the four adult classes will come together, presumably in here. That's what we've done the last couple of summers, and begin a study on what is a Reformed church, which is a great book written by Daniel Hyde. I believe this Wednesday, just by way of announcement, this Wednesday, they're actually doing an introduction to the Sunday school summer class, which will begin again next Sunday. Food this week, we got Leah Johnson, Nicole Lauder, and Amy Moran. So thank y'all so much for bringing the food on this last Sunday that we're together. Remember our spring event, an end of the semester event will be in 2 weeks, right? Yeah, 2 weeks, Saturday, June 4th at the Gambles home. That's going to be from 2 until 7. Dinner will be served. We all need to bring sides and or desserts. And this is a family event. The pool will be open. I'm going to pass around this clipboard. We need to, before next Wednesday, so over the next 10 days, see how many people are coming to that. So we know, so the Gambles know how much meat to prepare. So I'm going to pass around the clipboard. Just put your name and number of people in your family coming. And then if you don't know, that's okay. This week I'll send out an email that I'll have Jacob's number in there that you can email or text him again by next Wednesday so we get a head count. So again, join us for that family fun event. That'll be 1 week from Saturday. Y'all are quiet this morning. What's that?
It's the heat.
Everybody slow, the heat's slowing everybody down. All right, prayer request this morning. I did get an update on from the Martindales this morning. You remember Scott, their son in Switzerland, had brain surgery on Thursday. He's doing very, very well. He will go home, Lord willing, tomorrow. So keep praying for him and for recovery. Lori Griffin, are the Griffins here this morning? I talked to her this week. She's battling with low hemoglobin, low white blood cell count. They don't know for sure what's going on. So I believe she's going through some other tests and other things, but just pray for her and for John for clarity during this time and for encouragement. Edna Heath did go back home this week. I believe that was on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. So she's back home. She does have pretty much care around the clock now, but let's be praying for her as well. Other prayer requests or praises that we have this morning. Yeah, Lloyd. Yes. Okay. So this is the. They're still getting tested every day?
Every day.
Okay. So this is the Hansen son and daughter-in-law and family in China. The restrictions are being lessened a bit, although it's still pretty restrictive getting tested every day for COVID, but there's some good change. Let's be praying for them. Other prayer requests? Yes.
Praise on my end. Thank you all for praying for me and the new job. Really was a big career transition. A little scary going into it, but I made it through my first 100 days. And it was just a fun reminder that I'm here to do God's work laid out in front of me, not a particular career that I determined way ahead of time. So it's been a great blessing to be reminded that I'm a disciple of Christ, first and foremost. So, Thank you all for your prayers and the job transition, career change.
So this is a praise from Randolph. He switched careers and jobs and everything a few months ago, and it is all going well. It's a good reminder, though, that sometimes we make plans, but the Lord changes those, right, and directs our steps. Good. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for who you are. We're thankful, Lord, that you have called us to saving faith, and that because of that, we've been adopted into your family, and we are, even in this room, Father, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We thank you for that unity that we have with you and with one another. Father, we are grateful to be able to be here this morning in your house and worshiping with your people. We thank you, Lord, for this praise from Randolph that this career change, a big change in his life and a new job has gone well, and we pray, Lord, that that would continue to go well and that you would continue to watch over him. Father, we thank you for this report from Lloyd about his son Mark and his wife Rachel in China. Some of the restrictions are being lessened. We pray that that would continue to be the case and that you would help them to continue to seek you and to be able to evangelize those around them. We thank you, Lord, that Jim Bishop has gone home and doing well after his heart surgery. We want to pray for Edna Heath as she has transitioned back home, that you would watch over her and care for her, as well as for Laurie Griffin, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage them during this time and bring clarity of diagnosis as to what's going on. We pray for Scott Martindale. We praise you for a successful surgery. We pray for the reports that will come from that for successful recovery as well. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to listen to it this morning and that you would, through your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to conclude our study on the Lord's Prayer, and as we do so, I want to provide, probably half the class will be a review of the last 7 weeks. But don't fall asleep during that time, because I want you to be thinking through what we have discussed and then how that all culminates in this final benediction and plea that we're going to talk about today. So think about what the Lord has taught you over the last 2 months in this study. We will hopefully have time at the end of the class for you to all to share around your tables what you've either learned from this study or maybe been reminded of. But let's begin by reading in its entirety the Lord's Prayer as it begins, actually in verse 5, to kind of set the context of Matthew 6. So Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5, going through verse 13. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, in the very first week of our study, in order to set the context for the Lord's Prayer, we looked at how not to pray. And we see that beginning in verse 5. Don't pray like the hypocrites, much like the Pharisees did, who did so with a haughty and insincere spirit. Remember, they would kind of be on the street corners for public show. But likewise, we're also not to pray like the heathen who pray to the spirits or even ancestors, using their prayers almost like mantras. Rather, we are to pray to our Father in heaven. And this was a good reminder for us of the covenantal relationship, not that we have sought or that we have established with God, but that He has sought. He has established that covenantal relationship with His people. And so we have permission, if you will, to seek Him and to even call Him Father. We looked at the important relationship between us and our Heavenly Father, and we discussed that based on that relationship, we can approach Him, conscious of the grace of adoption, confident that He pities us, confident that He protects us, and also confident that He provides and will provide for us. But we also looked at the importance of hallowing our Father's name, which was the first petition. And it was an interesting order that Jesus gave us to begin with. We start with praising and glorifying God in heaven. And we see how vital it is for our prayers to begin in that way. A.W. Pink writes regarding this first petition, "It signifies our desire that God's matchless name might be reverenced, adored, and glorified, and that God might cause it to be held in the utmost respect and honor." Well, the second petition we saw in verse 10, which was, "Your kingdom come." And in this petition, we're praying specifically three things. One, that God's kingdom of grace will come on earth as it is in heaven. So that, in other words, that the multitudes of Christians in heaven now worshiping God would be represented by multitudes of Christians here on earth worshiping and praising the name of Christ. It means as part of this that we are praying fervently for spiritual revival. And each one of us we looked at is a part of that. If we would just share the gospel with those around us, if we would encourage people in the Word of God. Well, secondly, in this petition, we're praying that God's rule will be increasingly acknowledged and obeyed. And that happens as we grow in grace. And then thirdly, we're praying that Christ's rule will be completed, and that'll come to its fruition ultimately when Jesus returns. So we go from the second petition to the third petition, also found in verse 10. We're praying, quote, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we looked at the differences between God's preceptive will or will of command and his sovereign will, which we can also call his decretive will. We discussed the importance of praying that his preceptive will be obeyed and how that is obeyed as we seek to love God's law, delight in it, and then live it out in our lives. In praying that God's decretive or sovereign will be accepted, we're admitting that he knows best. And so we're ultimately submitting our desires and our will to the will of our Heavenly Father. As we move into the fourth petition, verse 11, y'all still with me? It's a fly over the scene kind of thing over the last 7 weeks. Stay with me. As we moved into the fourth petition, verse 11, we prayed that God would give us our daily bread. And we discussed that bread here refers to how God provides for us physically, provides for our material or temporal needs, but even more, he provides that which we need spiritually. Namely, he provided the atoning death of his Son, Jesus Christ, since we could not atone for our own sins. The implications is that we should daily be communing with him in prayer and in his word, that we would daily trust him for his provision. Fifth petition, verse 12. We discuss the need for our Heavenly Father to forgive us. And this was not, Lord, forgive me for my sins generally. Remember, we looked at how the confession worded it and how we pray that he would forgive our particular sins particularly. That's pretty specific, isn't it? So it's, Lord, help me understand where I'm sinning, where I'm falling short, where I'm grieving you, and help me to repent of that. We can also approach the throne of grace we saw in this petition with confidence, knowing that he hears our prayers and that even Jesus himself right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you as you pray in his name. Last week, finally, we discussed the sixth petition, verse 13, which dealt with temptation. And in that, we looked at the fact that we're acknowledging our entire dependence upon God and that God is the Lord of the circumstances. In this verse, we looked at the importance of being honest with your struggles and being careful to avoid and stay away from the products, the people, or the places. The products or the people or the places that may tempt you. We looked at how the Lord delivers us from evil when we do face temptation. Well, that was a quick overview of what we've done the last 7 weeks. But as we conclude today, let's look at this benediction, also called a plea, which is the final part of the Lord's Prayer, and it reads, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, those of you that have been studying this know that this is not in Scripture. So this is but there is a fairly widespread belief that this final part, while it was not in the original prayer found in the two Gospels, was added soon afterwards. Since this was customary among Jews to conclude their prayer with a benediction or a doxology. However, there's also considerable early support for the inclusion of this doxology in the original text. The Didache, which was written in the early 2nd century, for example, included this benediction at the end of the Lord's Prayer. We, of course, also find this line in, as we read and we recite the Lord's Prayer together each Sunday morning. One of the reasons why this is a fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is that it returns our focus to God. Remember, in the first part of the Lord's Prayer, it's all about praising and glorifying the Heavenly Father. And then we kind of go through the petitions, and now we've come full circle, and we're back to praising and glorifying God. First of all, notice in this line, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," the word "for." The word "for." It also could be translated "because." So in this way, we are essentially praying, "Because God, you, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever, amen, hear these petitions." It's a plea to God. Matthew Henry writes, "It's our duty to plead with God in prayer, to fill our mouth with arguments." We see this in Job 23:4. Listen to this, "Not to move God, though, not to move God, but to affect ourselves, to encourage our faith, to excite our fervency, and to evidence both." We see many examples through Scripture of people pleading with God in prayer. One example is found in Genesis 18. We see God, Abraham pleading to God's justice as he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah to be spared. Genesis 18:32, "Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And God answered, For the sake of 10, I will not destroy." It's an example of one, Abraham, pleading with God. It's important to note, though, that as we plead with God, we don't do so in a proud way, seeking to change his mind. Rather, we are doing so with humility. We're coming to him with contrition, praying that God will change us as we plead with him, and praying that he will change us from a condition of unbelief and even laziness and doubt to one of faith and zeal and trust. Well, after the plea, which is the word "for," the next word is "yours." R.C. Sproul suggests that the following part of the benediction are the three things that Jesus says belongs to God. And so what are those three things? Well, his kingdom belongs to God, all power belongs to God, and all glory belongs to God. First, let's consider the fact that we're to acknowledge that the kingdom is his. The kingdom is his. The kingdom of God is his kingdom over which he has and exercises sovereign rule. He reigns supreme over all things and through all things. R.C. Sproul writes, "The United States is said to have a government of the people, by the people, and what? For the people. But not so the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not of the people, by the people, or for the people. It is a kingdom ruled by a king, and God does not rule by the consent of his subjects, but by his sovereign authority. His reign extends over me, whether I vote for him or not." See, his rule over his kingdom is not dependent on us. It's dependent upon who God is. This is maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I think it's applicable here. Something popped up on my phone this morning, and it said, "God needs you to put a Bible app on your phone." It was some sort of advertisement, right? And so while I would encourage you to put a Bible app on your phone so you have it with you wherever you go, God doesn't need you to do that. In fact, he doesn't need you at all. He can accomplish all his holy will without you. Now, he chooses to use us, doesn't he, in the lives of other people, and rightly so. And we should be used, and we should want to be used and be disciples and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't need us. He has complete control, and he is sovereign over all things. 1 Chronicles 29:11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." Well, secondly, Jesus is teaching us that all power is God's. All power is God's. The Greek word used here, translated power, is dunamis, which is the same word of which we get the English word dynamite. This line reminds us of the sheer power that God possesses. Realize he has the power to create, he has the power to save, and he has the power to enable us as his believer, as his children, to live in a holy and godly life. You know, he has the power to create. We saw that in Genesis. He merely spoke the world into existence, didn't he? He has the power to save as he draws sinners to himself. establishing the way of salvation through the mediatorial death of His precious Son and our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. But we also see that He has the power to enable us as His children to live as becomes the children of Christ. We read in John 14:26, but the Helper, who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit, right? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In other words, anytime I teach and anytime I just open the Word of God, I say, Lord, please send forth the Holy Spirit. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand this and to rightly apply the Word of God to my life. Thirdly, Jesus is teaching us here that all glory belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. We see another example of this when Paul writes in Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Our prayer should be centered on God, giving Him the glory, praying always that He would increase and that we would decrease. John 3:30. Well, many of you have listened to and read through the musical scores that Bach has composed. But you know, at the end of each one of his musical compositions, the initials SDG were penned. SDG, which stood for Sola Dea Gloria. Did y'all know that? See, Bach wanted to remind himself and also others who would take these compositions and read them and pray and play them, that they would be reminded, that he would be reminded, all praise, all glory to God. You know, many of us struggle with wanting praise from others, don't we? But when others do praise us, let us take opportunity to deflect that praise off of ourselves and onto Him who deserves the praise and glory. Well, here's what I want you to do for a few minutes. Yes, we've got time. Great. What I want you to do around your tables, it's been a seven weeks so far that we've gone through the Lord's Prayer. I want you to think about how the Lord has reminded you of things or maybe has taught you new things through this study and just share that around your tables. Let's take a few minutes and do that right now. All right, let's go ahead and come back together. Who would like to share any particular thing that the Lord has laid on your heart through this study of the Lord's Prayer? Who wants to share? I'm going to mic you up so everybody can hear. Don't let that intimidate you, but just want everybody to be able to hear. Who wants to share? I should not have mentioned the microphone, should I? Anybody want to share? Hang on. Hang on, Rich.
Is grace is very prominent in the Lord's Prayer. We are to forgive each other of our debts, and you know, even as a newlywed that I might be, you know, if we don't forgive each other for our debts, even as married couples, you know, why is God going to forgive us of our sins? So that's reading pretty loud to me in the Lord's Prayer.
So grace is throughout the Lord's Prayer. It is indeed. Who else? All right. Well, let's conclude. As we look at this final benediction and plea, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's look at this word forever. It's important to note and not just quickly go through. How long is His the kingdom and the power and glory? Forever. It'll never end. Sproul writes, God's sovereignty, omnipotence, and glory are not temporary things. They will last into eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. From everlasting to everlasting, it is His kingdom, His power, and His glory. We see in this last part of the Lord's Prayer an expression of what A.W. Pink words as a holy and joyful praise, a holy and joyful praise. We turn to God in prayer and we set these petitions, as we've seen, before God, knowing that He is the King who rules on high. knowing that He is the Almighty One, who's all-glorious and all-powerful. Remember, we began the study with beginning with praise, and now we're concluding it with praise, because He alone is worthy to be praised. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, as we consider our needs, our dependence upon Him, and our relation to Him, we must end as we begin the Lord's Prayer by praising Him. And this leads to a question for all of us to consider. Do our hearts overflow with praise to God as we pray to Him daily? Do our hearts overflow with praise to God as we pray to Him daily? You see, dear friends, it's not only how we pray, but it's also how we live, to the praise and glory of His wondrous name. So this is a fitting conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. May we all pray for the help of the Holy Spirit as we seek to praise God through our prayers, as we seek to praise and glorify Him in our lives, being grateful for what He has done for us. My sincere prayer for me and for each one of you is that we would all not recite the Lord's Prayer, even today, in a way that we have done before. Let's recite it, knowing after having studied it in depth, the fullness and the richness and the depth of Jesus' words that are written for us even today. Let's pray. God in heaven, we are grateful and we just thank You and we praise You for who You are. So much of the time our prayers, my prayers, our prayers are so filled with petitions, with supplications, with things that we are in need of. But Father, help us to not forget all praise and all glory belongs to You. Help that to be the center and the focus of our prayers. And would You use our prayers in a way that would glorify You and in a way that would grow us up, that would change us, that would even sanctify us, all to the glorious praise of Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.